Welcome to XY Files podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 10 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered the complete low testosterone testing guide, what to order, when to test, and how to read results. Today we're getting into normal testosterone levels, but symptoms, what to check. If you have ever been told your testosterone is normal and your immediate reaction was, then why do I feel like this? This episode is for you. Last time, the big takeaway was that good testing is not just ordering testosterone and circling a number. Timing matters, assay method matters, repeating the test matters. Today we take that one step further because this is where it gets practical. A lot of men are told everything is fine based on one total testosterone result. Drawn whenever, measured however, with no LH, no FSH, and no real attempt to match the lab to the symptoms. That is how hypogonadism gets missed in real life. I see this every week. A guy in his late 30s or early 40s comes in with low energy, poor recovery, less motivation, reduced libido, maybe some brain fog, maybe body composition changes that do not make sense for how hard he is training. He already has labs. The report says, normal. And then you look closer. The blood draw was at 3 in the afternoon. He had breakfast. Only total testosterone was checked. No free testosterone measured accurately. No LH, no FSH. At that point, the word normal is doing a lot of work it has not earned. When I was earlier in training, I probably gave too much respect to that word. If the lab flagged it green, it felt reassuring. Then I actually started seeing men whose lives clearly said otherwise. The lab range is not the diagnosis. The man in front of you is. The first problem is the reference range itself. Most laboratories use a broad adult reference interval for total testosterone. It is simple. It is easy to report. It is not personalized medicine. A 2017 harmonization paper gave us the widely quoted adult range of roughly 264 to 916 nanograms per deciliter. That is useful for standardization. It is not a magic fence that tells you whether a symptomatic individual man has an adequate androgen state. Think about what goes into that broad population. Younger men, older men, lean men with obesity, men with insulin resistance, men with chronic illness, men sleeping 5 hours a night and living on caffeine and stress. If you blend all of that together, the lower end of normal slides down. Being average inside an unhealthy population is not the same thing as being hormonally healthy. This is one of the most frustrating conversations men have in regular care. You are normal for your age. Maybe. But normal for your age compared with whom? Healthy peers? Or a population that includes a lot of metabolic disease and poor sleep and excess body fat? Those are not the same benchmark. At Vidma, we do not diagnose by a number alone, and we do not dismiss symptoms because a lab report feels comforting. Hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. It requires persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence, both, not just one. For men with ongoing symptoms, a total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter or a free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter deserves careful evaluation. That is not the diagnosis by itself. It is a signal to look properly. And free testosterone matters here more than most men realize. Some men live in the gray zone where total testosterone looks acceptable on paper, but the biologically available fraction is low. More on that in a minute, because this is where many false normal stories come from. The second problem is timing. Testosterone is not a fixed number that sits there all day waiting politely for LabCorp or Quest to call its name. It follows a daily rhythm. In most men, testosterone peaks in the early morning, around 7 to 8 a.m., then declines through the day. In younger and middle-aged men, that drop can be clinically meaningful. Around 20 to 30% is a reasonable ballpark. That means an afternoon result can mislead you in either direction. A man drawn at 3 p.m. with a total testosterone of 280 might have been closer to 380 in the morning. On the other side, a borderline low morning level might get waved away if the testing conditions keep changing and nobody repeats it consistently. Convenience is nice. Accuracy is nicer. The mistake I see most often is the random office draw. The patient is already there for something else. The nurse says, "While you're here, let's check testosterone." Efficient. Also not a great endocrine workup. If you are trying to rule in or rule out hypogonadism, testosterone should be drawn in the morning, between 7 and 11, and it should be repeated on a separate morning. And yes, fasting matters. Men are surprised by this. Food, especially a glucose load, can lower testosterone for several hours. So the guy who grabs a breakfast sandwich and then gets his blood drawn because it fit between meetings is not giving you the cleanest data. If the goal is a clinically interpretable result, do the boring, correct version. Morning, fasting, twice. I use a car analogy sometimes because it fits. If your check engine light is on, and I only inspect the car after a long highway drive, in the rain, with half the sensors unplugged, I do not get to say, "Good news, the car seems fine. I tested it badly." That is different. Third, one test is not enough. This matters whether the first result is low or normal. Testosterone varies from day to day. Sleep loss can move it. Acute illness can move it. Hard training can move it. Stress can move it. Surgery, hospitalization, a miserable week at work, a baby that is not sleeping, all of that can change the number enough to matter. A single low result might reflect a real low day without proving chronic hypogonadism. A single normal result might reflect a relatively good day in a man whose overall pattern is low. That is why guidelines recommend confirming the result with a second morning test using a reliable assay. Not because doctors enjoy making you come back, because hormones are not static. This also helps us distinguish chronic hypogonadism from temporary suppression. Sometimes, low testosterone is the body's reaction to a stressor rather than the primary problem. Acute illness is a classic example. Sometimes, the lower testosterone is part of functional hypogonadism, where the axis is intact but suppressed by obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, medications, or systemic illness. That is not the same thing as irreversible gland failure. And it matters a lot for treatment. We are going to spend the whole next episode on obesity, metabolic syndrome, and type 2 diabetes, because that triangle explains a large share of what we see in practice. For now, just remember this. Low testosterone can be the smoke, not always the fire. Now the big one, free testosterone. A lot of guys hear testosterone and think the total number is the whole story. It is not. Total testosterone tells you how much testosterone is circulating in all forms. Free testosterone is the fraction that is not tightly bound and is available to tissues. If total testosterone is the money in the account, free testosterone is the cash you can actually spend. One of my most common consults goes like this. A man has a total testosterone around 400 or 450. He has clear symptoms. Someone told him he is fine because the total was in range. Then I review outside labs and see that the free testosterone is low, or the method used to measure it is weak, or there is a clue that protein binding is distorting the picture. That mismatch is not rare. High SHBG is one reason this happens. SHBG is a binding protein made by the liver. When it is high, more testosterone gets tied up, and free testosterone can fall even if the total still looks decent. So yes, a man can have a total testosterone of 450 and still be biochemically deficient where it counts. This is one reason a normal result can miss hypogonadism. A good study from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism looked at men with normal total testosterone but low free testosterone, and found they had more signs and symptoms of hypogonadism than men whose free testosterone was normal. Clinically, that matches what we see. The total alone can hide the problem. Then we get to the method. Not all free testosterone tests are created equal. Most routine labs rely heavily on immunoassays. For some measurements, that is okay. For free testosterone, routine direct immunoassays are often unreliable. The number may look precise because it has decimals. That is a personality trait of the report, not proof of accuracy. At VIDMA, we measure free testosterone directly with equilibrium dialysis and LCMS/MS. That is the method we trust when hidden testosterone deficiency is suspected. We also use a reliable method for total testosterone, typically LCMS/MS. The reason is simple. If the method is weak, the interpretation will be weak. You cannot build a careful diagnosis on a shaky number.
We do not order SHBG as a separate test in our core panel because direct free testosterone testing by equilibrium dialysis makes that workaround unnecessary. If I am reviewing outside labs someone already has, SHBG can help explain why total and symptoms do not match. But our preferred path is not to guess. It is to measure free testosterone directly. There is also newer reference data from healthy, non-obese men showing that free testosterone in truly healthy younger men tends to be higher than generic pooled adult reference ranges suggest. That matters because a lab sheet may label a result normal simply because it is statistically common in a broad adult population. Again, common is not the same as adequate. The next piece, and I would argue the most overlooked piece, is LH and FSH. If you remember nothing else from this episode, remember this. LH and FSH must be measured alongside testosterone. Without them, you cannot classify primary versus secondary hypogonadism. And if you cannot classify it, you cannot choose the correct treatment. LH and FSH are pituitary hormones. They are the signals from the brain to the testes. High LH plus low testosterone means the brain is trying hard, but the testes are not responding. That is primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone means the signal itself is weak or suppressed. That is secondary or functional hypogonadism. This is not academic. It changes the whole care path. A man with primary hypogonadism generally needs TRT because the testes cannot respond adequately to stimulation. A man with secondary or functional hypogonadism may be a candidate for enclomiphene, especially when LH is below 8. In that setting, the axis is often suppressed rather than destroyed. Enclomiphene works by blocking estrogen feedback at the hypothalamus. That increases GnRH and LH, and the testes are stimulated to produce testosterone naturally. The practical advantages are important. It preserves spermatogenesis and fertility. It tends to maintain testicular size and function. It works with the body's own regulation. It may be discontinuable if the underlying suppression improves, and it carries a lower risk of elevated hematocrit than TRT. That is why we treat secondary and functional hypogonadism differently. If the testes can still do the job, the smarter first move is often to restore signaling rather than shut the system down and replace the hormone from outside. TRT has a role, just not for everybody. It is reserved for primary hypogonadism or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. TRT suppresses gonadotropins and spermatogenesis. It is not appropriate for men who are trying to preserve fertility. It is treatment for documented hypogonadism, not optimization for men with normal hormones who want to feel extra excellent on leg day. Educationally, I also think it is worth calming down the fear and hype around TRT. The largest randomized trial we have, the TRAVERSE trial, followed about 5,000 men with documented hypogonadism for close to 3 years and found TRT was not worse than placebo for major cardiovascular events. It did not show an increased prostate cancer risk. The most common issue was elevated hematocrit, which is why monitoring matters. But none of that changes the key point for today. If a man actually has secondary or functional hypogonadism, jumping straight to TRT without LH and FSH can put him on the wrong path and suppress fertility unnecessarily. Viedma is not a TRT clinic. We are a preventive men's health clinic focused on hormone, sexual, and fertility health. Our prescribed options are oral enclomiphene and the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet when erection or urinary symptoms are also part of the picture. The testing is what makes that individualized approach possible. So what should you do if your testosterone test came back normal, but the symptoms are still there? First, do not argue with the lab report. Upgrade the workup. That means repeating testing on two separate mornings, fasting, between 7 and 11. Not once, twice. And not just total testosterone. You want total testosterone, free testosterone measured directly with equilibrium dialysis, and LC-MS/MS, LH, FSH, estradiol, CBC, a comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, and PSA if you are 40 or older. If your BMI is over 25, insulin is helpful. Depending on the situation, prolactin, thyroid-stimulating hormone, and a lipid panel may also matter. That panel tells us whether symptoms and numbers line up, whether the low testosterone is primary or secondary, whether metabolic health is part of the story, and whether there are safety issues to consider before treatment. Second, pay attention to the conditions around the test. Sleep the night before. Fast. Do not get tested during an acute illness if it can wait. Do not treat a random afternoon result as the final word on your endocrine life. That is giving a lot of authority to a weak data point. Third, interpret the numbers in context. At Viedma, persistent symptoms plus total testosterone under 350 or free testosterone under 100 deserve a proper evaluation, always alongside LH and FSH. A number alone is never the diagnosis. But a normal label on an incomplete panel is not a diagnosis either. And fourth, if you already have outside labs, do not assume they are useless just because they were incomplete. We review outside results all the time, including uploads from services like Function Health. Sometimes the answer is not that you need to start from zero. Sometimes the answer is that someone needs to read what is already there in a more coherent way. A few common questions come up here. A lot of guys hear your testosterone is in range and think that rules out hormones completely. It does not. A broad lab range is not a guarantee that your androgen status is adequate for your body, your symptoms, and your age. It is one piece of information. Useful, yes. Final, no. Another common belief is that any testosterone test done anytime is good enough if the number is extreme. I understand the logic, but most men are not walking around with cartoonishly high or low results. They are in the borderland where a 20 to 30% swing from time of day or a shift from food intake can change the interpretation. In that range, details matter. Another one. I had one normal test, so my symptoms must be stress. Maybe. Stress absolutely affects testosterone and symptoms, but one normal test does not close the case. If the testing conditions were poor or the panel was incomplete, you have not really answered the question yet. Then there is the opposite mistake. A man gets one low result and assumes he needs testosterone immediately. Slow down. We need to know if the low value persists. We need to know whether LH and FSH point to primary or secondary hypogonadism. We need to know whether fertility matters. We need to know whether obesity, type 2 diabetes, medications, or poor sleep are suppressing an otherwise intact axis. That is not indecision. That is competent medicine. And this one deserves its own paragraph because I see it constantly. Men think lifestyle change alone will always fix functional hypogonadism if they just try harder. I am very much in favor of weight loss, sleep improvement, training, treating insulin resistance, and cleaning up the basics. All of that matters. But in practice, the testosterone increase from lifestyle change alone is often modest, and long-term weight regain is common. That is why enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification is often the ideal first-line approach for functional hypogonadism. you address the biology and the cause at the same time. The practical takeaways are pretty simple. If you have symptoms and your testosterone was called normal, ask how the test was done. Was it morning? Was it fasting? Was it repeated? Was free testosterone measured accurately? Were LH and FSH included? If the answer to most of that is no, you do not have a completed evaluation. Second, stop looking at total testosterone in isolation. Free testosterone is where hidden deficiency often shows up. At VIDMA, we prioritize direct free testosterone measurement with equilibrium dialysis and LCMS/MS for exactly that reason. Third, insist on classification before treatment. High LH with low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH with low testosterone points to secondary or functional hypogonadism. If LH is below 8 and the axis is intact, enclomiphene is often the first-line treatment because it supports natural production and preserves fertility. TRT is reserved for men who actually need replacement. Fourth, connect the hormones to the bigger picture. Sleep, weight, insulin resistance, medications, alcohol, and chronic illness all matter. Hormone care done well is never just one number on one day. This is episode 10, so by now you can probably hear the pattern in the series. Good treatment starts with good classification. Last episode was about how to test. This episode was about why a normal result can still be misleading. Next time, we'll get into obesity, metabolic syndrome, and type 2 diabetes, the low testosterone triangle. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it.
If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free, or order labs through our special offer at vidma.com.